You know that several years ago there was an interesting, you know, TV show called Touched by an Angel. Well, my life never really works that way. I never really cared for the show too much because it just really wasn't, it's not the way I always saw life working. But for some people, it worked really well. No, for God to get my attention, I'm never touched by an angel. I get slapped by an angel, okay? And that's about what it takes in order sometimes to get my attention. It's something a little bit rougher than that. And so many years ago, right after I was first ordained, one of my friends, who's a Vincentian priest, Father Chris Robinson, Chris and I were talking one time about our lives as priests. And God was using that occasion to kind of slap me a little bit, because what I became very, very aware of at that point in time was because of who I was and what my position in the church and all of those things, it became very, very clear to me that I will never be poor. I can try to be poor. Even he's not poor, and he's even taken more of a vow of poverty than I have, okay, as a member of a religious order. But the difference is that he doesn't necessarily keep his check, you know, but he gets an allowance. I just keep my check and then, you know, do things that way, all right? But neither one of us are ever going to be poor. Now, we probably aren't going to be rich. I can almost guarantee you that, okay? But we're not going to be poor. We just will not be. There's always going to be a roof over my head. There's always going to be food on my table. I'm not going to be poor. Because of my education, I'll never be poor. I have a voice because I'm educated. Because of all those things, I will never know what it's like to be poor. And so every time I hear these Beatitudes, and Luke's is the version we hate to hear the most, okay? Because in Luke's version, not only does he do the blessed are yous, but he also does the and woe to you. This version's rougher than the others, because sometimes we have to remember that those of us who have so much, and I look around at you this morning, and you look pretty comfortable, even if you did have to sing five verses of the first song, okay? You look pretty comfortable. You don't look like you're miserable. You don't look like you're being too put upon this morning. Neither am I. But when I look at us, and then I read the gospel, I realize that we are not poor. We're not. St. Peter's is not poor. I could go out and look on the street and see what kind of cars everybody's driving. And if they're running, it means we're not poor. Look at what we afforded to do to the building several years ago. We're not poor. We've got what we want to do, what we want. Okay? So, are we blessed? Because that first reading says, the one who's blessed is the one who's doing things right in the eyes of God. Are we blessed? Or should somebody be saying woe to us? Now, I'm not going to romanticize poverty either, because I don't think that anybody ought to live without knowing where their next meal's coming from. I don't think anybody ought to live without proper health care. I don't think anybody ought to live without a secure home where their lives are not being visited with violence day in and day out. So I'm not romanticizing the other side either. But I have to say, where is my salvation? Where is it that you and I connect with God? How do we do that? Because that whole second reading was about we have to be the people who see things. Is Christ risen in us? Are we looking like Jesus? Are we looking like the risen Lord? And notice that that second reading really does put us first. It doesn't say, hey, just remember, if Christ hasn't been raised, then you guys aren't raised. It does it the absolute opposite way. And I think Paul knew what he was doing when he said that. He was saying, if you haven't been raised, then where's Jesus in all this? Have we been transformed into the risen Christ in a way that we can preach and proclaim to the world good news. And especially when we're so well off. Now, I'm telling you, I think we take good care of the neighborhood. You know, we're doing pretty good. But that can also be really easy because we can say, oh, well, those 40 or 50 people are volunteering for us. And they're making us look really good. But how are we really encountering the poor? What happens if we don't know their names? Because I know each one of you would do something for your next door neighbor if they were in trouble. I know that about you. But what happens when they live several miles away and you don't even know their name? It's harder to care then, isn't it? If somebody or violence were breaking out in our neighbor's home next door, or somebody was surrounding their house with weapons, sure, we'd call the police. We do all those things. But what happens when it's somebody else and in a different place in the world? And yet we say we don't care. How does that work for us? Do you know our history as a people of faith? Do you realize that we were migrants? Do you know that at times we fled poverty? We fled starvation? Do you know that at other times then we fled oppression? Do you know then that when we migrated to another place, we threw all the people out that were living there because, well, it was ours first? Do we stop and we think about that? Because again, in the conversation of the day, we keep talking about red states and blue states. And if you ask me, you know, I don't think I've searched the gospel. There's nothing in there about red states or blue states. But there is something in there about opening our lives and our hearts to people who need us. There is something in there about you shall not oppress or molest an alien. That's scripture. And what are we saying about it as people of faith? When are we going to get in the conversation as people of faith rather than as people who belong to a party, one party or another? How do we do that? And what worries me most is when we're not even thinking about it. How do we do that? And I don't have all the answers, people. But I am saying the gospel convicts us. The gospel is the one that won't let us rest easy on this whole thing. Because the gospel today is saying, are we blessed? Or is it woe to us? And we have to be people who figure out what that means in our day and age. Is God looking at us saying, blessed are you because you look like I want you to look? Or is God saying, woe to you because you're too busy being worried about your comfort and what you have? And that's not what the gospel's about. I'm going to end this morning with a quote from Michael Simone, who's a Jesuit who teaches scripture at Boston College. And again, this is one of those where I need to be taking down a few things because you know I only ever quote somebody when I don't think that I can say it as well as somebody else said it, okay? And I'll tell you that I still need help because I'm going to paraphrase it because I think I can help him a little bit, okay? But in here, when I was reading this the other night, it was like getting slapped again. It was like God trying to get my attention. Because again, I know I'm never going to be poor. So how do I find that whole life about being poor in spirit, which some of the other gospels take in, not Luke's version, but the others. How do I find that in me? Because you notice that when I have everything, I don't pray very hard. It's only when I'm down and out that I really pray. How about you? When you pray, does it sound like the list of things that you've got for God to do? Okay, God, I want you to do this and this and this and this and this. Or is it about saying, God, what am I supposed to do with my life to be the risen Christ for these other people in my life? This is not easy. This is not easy. And so Michael Simon says, Christ's disciples must continue this tradition of searching for how to make this work in this day and age. He says, 21st century society has a nearly inexhaustible supply of false righteousness against which to inveigh. And so he starts with the woes and then he finishes up with the blesseds. Okay? He says, woe to you well-educated, for you might not find work in the kingdom. And woe to you who lead sheltered lives, for you may not be able to see Christ among the outcasts. But perhaps happier you who might be high school dropouts. Someday, you might achieve your goals. And happy all those of you who struggle with addiction, because someday, you might be clean. And happy you migrants and refugees, and you who have no place to call home. Rejoice and leap, for you perhaps will recognize the Son of Man, who when he came, also found no place to lay his head. If indeed we don't allow ourselves from time to time to get slapped by those angels, then we're not trying very hard, are we?